This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 2272. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, primarily shortwave. On this edition, recorded December 5th, Brazil, China, Congo DR, Cuba, Denmark, Egypt, Germany, India, Indonesia, Korea, North and South, Mexico, Myanmar, Netherlands, North America, Norway, Oklahoma, Russia, Spain, Turkey, UK, USA, Vanuatu, Wales, and ID 13450, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. Reports of some Brazilian shortwave pirates just below WWB on 10 MHz on 9970 Radio Casa. Zaharis Langas in Greece, using a remote in Brazil, was hearing pop songs of the past, such as Hotel California, December 4th at 1228 UT. Then Ron Howard was also hearing it a bit later at 1527 UT via another remote in Brazil. There is info about it at hfunderground.com, with four frequencies, not including this one. The station claims to have a call sign of ZYW685 for 8,000 kHz and has its own website, radiocasa.net. Then Dan Robinson also reports it with huge signals into the Pardinho and Brasilia remotes in Brazil at 2318 December 4th, but a tough one for U.S. reception, only faint carriers at various northeast U.S. remotes. And then he adds, Voz Evangelica was back for one of its occasional evenings of non-stop religious music, no ID, and soon off after midnight 30. It was on 9990.9. The other one, this had a better signal at Ottawa and Maryland remotes in North America than at Brazilian remote sites. Using a remote in India, Ron Howard reports on 5050 Beibu Bay Radio in China, December 4th at 1513, with its brief English segment. It's called One Word, One World. It was about Mekong Media Tourism Promotion Corporation Initiative. In southwest China, it was taken almost verbatim from a story at China Daily. Dan Robinson has had another reply from the operators of Radio Kahuzi and the Congo DR, which had been on shortwave 6210, but not currently. It's from Richard and Kathy McDonald. Dan keeps pressing them for info about possibly returning to shortwave. They say, we thank the Lord to be able to be here again, trusting Him for solutions. We have a real uphill effort this time. We are more alone than ever before. The technician, Jean-Marie, seldom returns to Bukavu from medical rehab cures elsewhere to finish our shortwave installation. That is a priority, but the one of many that goes slower because of our dependence on Him. Some of us, including myself, continue to hear a carrier on 1141 kHz. Suspected to be an off-frequency Cuban, it's not a 9 kHz direct channel in the Eastern Hemisphere. Now, Terry Kruger in Florida says, on November 27th at 1217, an AM-mode carrier right on 1141, some reports say it may be from Puerto Rico, Colombia, or Peru, and that it can't be Cuba because it was heard during the massive power outage a few weeks ago. Never mind, maybe not a 100% blackout or generator in use. But my observation here is present until total fade-out at 1235 and peaking very roughly 120 degrees. Puerto Rico, Colombia, Peru are impossible at this time, from here, at this time, and on this month. The fade matches east-central Cuba. Can anyone on the east coast of Florida chip in and end this once and for all? Well, here comes a reply from David Crawford in Indian River City, Florida. The definite Cuban audio from Radio Progreso, although not consistent, versus the more usual open carrier, might be a clue. Cuba and non, here's an incredible example of frequency mismanagement. 6180, December 2nd at 0238, there was a huge dead air carrier, 30 to 40 over 9. It was in Mandarin. That's the CRI relay via Kivikan, Cuba. But there was some barely audible Spanish underneath. That would be La Voz Alegre, Madagascar. If one didn't know about this, you might think it was Spanish only from Radio Cuba, where something's always wrong. In the National Flash Sheet, Ralph Perry reports on 25800 from Denmark, World Music Radio. November 26th, a good morning for that one, coming in nicely at 1338 and not yet fully faded in. There is a nice echo ID at 1340, playing mellow pops, and a high-pitched audio tone on the frequency like a transmitter artifact, but not much of a problem. He says WMR is really a low-power gem. Can the 10 watts I see on the Fergie list actually be right? That seems impossible. Actually, the nominal power is 10 kilowatts. And I had a barely audible carrier, too, from this, November 29th at 1610. Paul Walker in Alaska says 25800 WMR runs only a few hundred watts at best. I've heard them on 15700 several times and had several conversations with the operator. Egypt, Mauno Ritula says, I got a request for reception reports from Radio Cairo directly by email from them. Andy Reed in Ontario says, the English broadcast at 2115 gets into North America fine when they get the transmitter up and running. But Ken Zicki in Michigan replies, ROFL. Last time I heard it, they were strong enough, but the modulation was so poor I couldn't even tell what the language was. I've about given up, even trying for them. Has anyone actually heard understandable English from them in the last decade? Maybe someone close by, but certainly not across the Atlantic. Someone in BC replies, sure, they can be heard. In Masset, I've heard good, comprehensible English a handful of times, maybe 1% of the time. Arthur Posner near New York City says, I think they've been off the air lately. Last time I heard their crappy broadcasting was about a year ago. Alan Holder on the Isle of Wight replies in much more detail. Since September 2nd, they've been fairly regular on 9900, in Turkish at 17 to 19 UT and Russian at 19 to 20 on 9890 after a five-month break. The broadcasts are subject to late starts and often end around 1845, when I strongly suspect the transmitter operator decides to slope off home early when he should be on his work shift. The transmissions they are using on the 5-degree antenna have fairly acceptable modulation, but varies according to the program content. Music seems quite listenable, but spoken word sounds a bit rough. As for other languages on the 325-degree antenna for Europe, the audio is non-existent or is so distorted that it is unintelligible. These broadcasts are extremely irregular. I haven't heard the English broadcast for quite a while now. He says my last two emails to freqmeg@yahoo.com yielded no response. I informed them about a company in the U.S., Kenatron, who specialized in rejuvenating old transmitter tubes. They previously told me that worn-out tubes are responsible for the poor modulation quality. Well, at least the so-called English Hour is being heard again. I had it December 3rd at 2150, off frequency 9439.843, up to 20 over 9 with music, but I couldn't tell if it was distorted. Then on December 4th, John Perry says it was booming in here in Indiana at about 2130 UT and at 2200, but audio modulation so terrible you have no idea what they're saying. Radio Cairo has had horrible audio quality going back maybe even two decades or more, when I was listening to them in the early 2000s. They never seemed to get it fixed, but now it's even worse and muddier. You can't understand what they're saying. Eric Fetterswalp in Washington State says, after listening to Radio Cairo a couple times this week, I dug out my original logbook from my teenage years, and there in my reception notes of Radio Cairo from the first time I logged it in December 1988, 17-year-old me wrote this about the station's broadcast, undermodulated but good signal. Andy Lavendale in Italy says, I wonder how could it be possible for an international broadcaster to air whatever content with this kind of modulation? The Italian program of Radio Cairo is 100% unreadable most of the time, and this has been going on for years on whatever frequency they decide to use. It simply does not make sense. Fix it or leave it. Via Rusty X, a newsletter from John of Jazz AM about broadcast plans. Via Channel 292, on Sundays, including December 8th and 15th, at 11 to 12 UT on 9670, and at 22 to 23 on 3955. On December 15th, the 22 transmission is actually via 125 kilowatts Wolverton, UK, celebrating the work of the late Quincy Jones, and followed by a 10-kilowatt relay via Germany, Channel 292. Yeah, and Non, in the Michigan ARE tip sheet, Andy Robbins in Kalamazoo reports on 15280, a CNR1 jammer from China, November 24th at 2339, a strong open carrier at TuneIn, and crash start of a program in Mandarin in mid-sentence at 2342. That's 2 minutes before Akashvani or All India Radio scheduled to start its Chinese service on that frequency. If you're looking for India, beware. CNR's program sounds nothing like All India Radio. The jammer was parallel to 15340, targeting Sound of Hope, Radio Free Asia. Ron Howard reports via remote in Western Australia, the voice of Indonesia is still unheard on 3325 as of December 4th, but has been active on 4755, such as December 2nd at 1310, during the English broadcast with a commentary in 1317, Today in History for December 2nd. From Laszlo Tringer, dxing.info via Medium Wave News about North Korea DRM tests on medium wave. Can be observed via Japanese remotes on these frequencies, 657, 702, 765, 801, 819, 927, 882, and 999. The ID is A00001. My theory, North Korean government bought new transmitters from China with DRM capability, and the manufacturer added the station name. The transmitters are in DRM mode initially, but North Korean engineers cannot switch them to AM mode. Now they're broadcasting useless DRM content across the country. Matt Francis forwards a story from the New York Times you might want to look up. It's titled, A North Korean Voice That Kim Jong-un Would Like to Silence. It's about Kim Seong-min, who fled to South Korea in the 1990s, broadcasting to his homeland twice a day. He's the president of Free North Korea Radio, and he has cancer and was recently told he has months to live. Date of the story is December 2nd. The big news about martial law in South Korea should have been of interest to listeners of KBS World Radio, but they were a bit slow on the uptake. Nothing heard about that on UT December 4th. However, later that day, at 15 UT, 9515 was well heard in to a European remote by Richard Langley. And he says, the news report was exclusively about the attempt to impose martial law and subsequent moves by legislators. The Korea 24 program in the second hour had extensive discussion of developments, including audio clips from the president and others, and expert commentary. I've been hearing some interesting music on Mexican medium wave stations. On 970, probably Radio Formula, November 30th at 0744, the tune of Jingle Bells, but with different Spanish lyrics. Navidad, Navidad, oh yes, Navidad. Rather than trying to translate Jingle Bells literally and preserve the meter, that would be impossible. And on 1050, XCG Monterey, December 2nd at 0730, a song with a refrain to the tune of Yes, We Have No Bananas. The words sounded like Viva Nana, which could also be interpreted as Long Live Nana. Via remote in Thailand, Ron Howard has been listening to 5985 Myanmar Radio for their Friday Night Live show, such as November 22nd at 1550, including some songs in English. Also on November 29th from 1432 till closing at 1549. Ari Kallio in Finland points out that Radio Delta in the Netherlands caters to its Finnish listeners. In fact, on Sunday, December 1st at 16 UT, there was a Finnish request show, because music is universal entertainment. Not clear whether they'll be doing this every Sunday, but the frequency is 12085. Besides lots of North American pirates just below 7 MHz, Mark Taylor in Wisconsin, the NASA flash sheet, reports this unusual frequency, 9363 USB, November 28th at 1332, an UNID pirate with rock music, such as Blue Oyster Cult. It must have been a Thanksgiving special with some turkey gobbles and maybe some quacks. He says at 1428, I got up and let the dog in and came back to the station to find it was gone. Via International Vacuum, AM, FM, Shortwave, and Internet, World of Radio 2272. A non-commercial service, as is our website, worldofradio.com. Our thanks this week for financial support from Jack Aminar in Lowell, Michigan, who sent a contribution via PayPal to WORADIO at yahoo.com. One may also contribute via money order or check on a U.S. bank to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702. An update about Radio Northern Star in Norway from Sven Martinsen on Facebook December 3rd via Mike Barraclough. 5895 is off the air due to ongoing installation and restoration work in the transmitter building, causing frequent power outages. So we're only on 5G, as are the ferry and the coast, also off FM for the same reason. Soon we plan to put a new transmitter on the air, excited to see how that turns out. A tenfold increase in transmitter power should be noticeable. Parts for it have now arrived, so it's being connected, and will go on as soon as practically possible. And we also hope to be back soon on medium wave. Since November 29th in the daytime, I've been hearing a new station in Enid on 1670 kHz, but it's very low power. It peaks around the intersections of US 81 and 412. It may be a pirate or even legal as Part 15, but the programming is coming from Virtual DJ Radio. You can read more about that at its website, virtualdjradio.com. It seems that the thing is, anyone can play DJ if they download the proper software without having to get a job at a real radio station. So far, I have not been able to locate exactly where it's coming from. Further away at home, I can barely detect the carrier, but it seems to be offset about 50 hertz high. William Hoover laments the end of Sputnik Radio in English, no longer on the air in the Washington, D.C. area. Is he serious? He says the deep state controlling our news media apparently could no longer tolerate the truths and backstories put out daily by the great American hosts and commentators based in D.C. Actually, this happened back in mid-October. I found a VOA story about it. Two U.S. radio stations end Russian-backed propaganda programming. On AM, that's primarily WZHF 1390. The Russians also had some outlets in Kansas City. Spain's frequency for North America, 9690, was missing on December 3rd, 4th, and 5th, at least, so English at 2200 Wednesday could be heard only on 12030 backwards from the Middle East beam. Since on that date, the South American frequency was also missing, 17715. Turkey's daily English broadcast, also at 23 UT to North America, on 5960, was also missing Tuesday and Wednesday, December 3rd and 4th, but back on Thursday the 5th as I'm recording. In case there is no alternative frequency, although sometimes 9610 is on by mistake, not turned off at 2230. Ricky Leong in Calgary comments on the increasingly strange and inexplicable schedule of BBC World Service. Yet another side effect of the current rigidity relating to its shortwave schedule, whoever's in charge has decided the station can only broadcast to any particular region for 2 hours for any broadcast period. So on weekends, they just move the evening two-hour block around to best accommodate sports. This feels like something only a bureaucrat functionary would find acceptable, because no, it is not a listener-friendly arrangement. In the British DS Club, David Mappin, G4EDR+, has advance notice of a BBC World Service programming featuring Morse code. It's in their documentary series entitled Morse Code Ready to Transmit, about the International Morse Code Championships held in Tunisia, scheduled for Thursday, 12 December at 09:32 GMT, with a repeat at 20:06. Also available on BBC Sounds app shortly after transmission. Charles Harlick says Voice of America does have a 5-minute English language news podcast called Worldwide in 5, available at www.voanews.com. Mike Cooper says there was a discussion last month about the disappearance of the VOA webpage with hourly newscasts. Instead, Worldwide in 5. Nothing more than the VOA's top-of-the-hour newscasts, but they are only posted at 4-hour intervals. Why is that? Because VOA is only creating a fresh newscast every 4 hours. Listening to the English stream, one evening I heard the identical newscast at 22, 23, midnight, and 01 UT. Finally, a fresh newscast aired at 0200. How very sad. I reply, so, another station deliberately broadcasting olds instead of news. Well, a 3-hour delay isn't as bad as up to 14 and a half hours on Turkey. And Mike Cooper also says, VOA's Flashpoint Global Crises appears to have disappeared this year. It had gotten its first streaming at 22 UT Sunday through Thursday, during a slot that for years was Daybreak Asia, then VOA Asia, which was killed off in early 2022 and replaced with Flashpoint Ukraine. Now there is insipid VOA 1 music programming. Searches for Flashpoint Global Crises send the user to the VOA News homepage. The website has a 30-minute VOA Asia Weekly video program, but there's no mention of any audio or radio programming for the Asian region. Dan Robinson, retired from VOA and now one of its greatest critics, had a commentary published in the Washington Times, November 27th, titled, Voice of America, Global Media Agency, are rightly in budget cut bullseye. Entire operation should be dismantled. I'll not attempt to summarize it, but you get the gist. This led to quite a discussion in the World of Radio group about whether far-right media such as the Washington Times can be trusted. For those who object to such discussions on a radio monitoring or even DX group, Mike Cooper says, as Glenn wrote last September, guess what? Politics and religion are very much involved in broadcasting. Dan replies, it's a fact that conservative media such as the Washington Times, National Review, Real Clear Politics, and a couple of others are basically the only media with a record of consistently covering valid news stories about USAGM and VOA. Rodney Johnson in Minnesota replies to Dan, I have no idea what axe you have to grind about USAGM and VOA, but over the airwaves, from what I've heard all these years, there's no good reason to get rid of them. I feel represented by them for good or ill. What's next? NPR? AP? Reuters? Any other news source that doesn't parrot the hard right line? Author Stephen King is closing down his radio stations in Maine. Mike Cooper sends a story from the Bangor Daily News of December 2nd. Zone Corporation, Stephen King's radio station company, announces it will cease operations at the end of December. The general manager said their multiple Eastern Maine radio stations, including WKIT 100.3 FM and WZLO 620 AM, WZON 103.1 FM, would stop broadcasting December 31st after more than 40 years. King says he's feeling his 77 years, and it's time to get his business affairs in better order, such as saying goodbye to Zone Corp and the other stations he's personally kept afloat and on the air all these years. The three stations' formats were rock and roll, retro radio, and adult alternative. For months and months, a 1650 station in El Paso had been running nothing but a continuous tone overnight. KSVE, which is Spanish sports in the daytime, but the tone was no longer to be heard as of November 30th, so I'm wondering if it's gone off the air or merely stopped doing the tone. 1700 station in the Metroplex KKLF remains in Spanish, but now it's religious, as it's joined the Radiovisión Latina network, according to NRC DX News. And in fact, I was hearing a preacher in Spanish, but with a pronounced Brazilian accent, December 2nd at 0723, aquí in Dallas. Another opinion piece sparking considerable controversy appeared in the Wall Street Journal of November 30th, titled The Conservative Case for Public Broadcasting by Howard Husok, who clearly has a personal axe to grind, but he says, there may be no more justifiable target for budget cutters of the second Trump administration than the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. But if the reformers eliminate the public broadcasting budget, I'm concerned about what might come next, not because of love for Big Bird. It's because DOGE can't actually kill NPR and PBS. Liberal financial backers will swoop in with support, allowing them to continue to spread progressive propaganda masquerading as news. What will change is that they'll do it without accountability to Congress. Remensch, N6HCM, replies, translation, disgruntled former board member whines he didn't get his way. Nobody is forced to buy NPR programming. Most programming on public radio stations does not come from NPR. Most public radio stations get minimal or no federal funding. They also are fonts for local news coverage, except in West Virginia, where state funding is a thing and the state did actively interfere in local news coverage in the past few years. Via Greg Hardison, an opinion piece from The Hill, November 30th, by Jessica J. Gonzalez. Trump has promised to elevate Brendan Carr from commissioner to chair of the Federal Communications Commission, calling Carr a warrior for free speech. Nothing could be further from the truth. In a cringeworthy campaign to appeal to Trump, Carr has seized on Trump's threats to penalize broadcasters for fact-checking him or giving airtime to his political opponents. Following through on these threats would almost certainly violate the First Amendment, yet even the threat alone is chilling. Fortunately, FCC commissioners and even agency chairs do not get to invent their own job descriptions. No matter what Carr's bizarre ideas might suggest, FCC is an independent agency created by Congress, and its power is limited to what Congress has delegated. Carr has no jurisdiction to go after social media companies or nonprofit fact-checkers. Usually I can only quote brief excerpts of all these stories here. I urge you to read them in their entirety, available at the World of Radio IO Group. Trying to keep up with Radio Vanuatu, Manuel Mendez in Spain says 9960 was on the air November 30th until off at 0658, the usual time. But on December 1st, the next night, there was no signal before 0658. But on December 2nd, Ron Howard was hearing 9960 well past 0700, in fact, until sign-off at 1104, and the carrier remained, instead of switching to 3945, around 0658. And on December 4th and 5th, I was also hearing at least a carrier and maybe some audio on 9960, well past 0700. Causing sadness in Wales, this story from the Daily Post of Liverpool, November 26th. Historic 250-foot radio mast could be demolished at Anglesey, a site which famously transmitted the coronation of King George VI and Queen Elizabeth, also heralded the start of Welsh regional programming, but it could be headed for demolition. The redundant transmitter on a former BBC site at Penmon played an important role during World War II and a huge part in the development of Welsh broadcasting. It started on February 1, 1937. After a long campaign calling for Welsh regional programming. B.S. to the item about the BBC programming on Morse code, Alan Rowe says there's one more repeat scheduled Saturday, 14 December, at 2306 on 11645 via Philippines, and that puts a good signal into most of North America. An intriguing NID far out of band on 13450. Non-stop Middle Eastern music at 1330 to sign off at 1355 December 4th. A very strong signal into Florida, says Bill McDavitt in the British DX Club. The propagation outlook from SWPC issued December 2nd. Geomagnetic field likely to be unsettled to active December 10th to 14th and 16th to 20th. Mostly quiet December 3rd to 9th, 15th, and 21st to 28th. ANKNC is peaking at 15 and 4 December 12th, 12 and 4 on December 19th. Solar flux rising from 170 December 6th to 210 December 18th, and also on the 24th and 26th. Remember to check our website for much more info, worldofradio.com. With many thanks to all our stations and contributors. Hoping you'll hear me again next week. Glenn Hauser here, concluding World of Radio 2272. With a standard disclaimer.